Ponderings over tea
with Mary Phyllis
and Annalie.
Good morning, Annalie.
Good morning, Mary Phyllis. Yes, it's really good to be here.
Yeah.
We already started talking before the recording started, and so we're anxious to get going, right? And that's about the free will today.
Yes, yes.
Such an important part of being a human being.
Yes, it's said in many scriptures in different places that the human is given free will.
Yes.
Whether to follow the good or the bad, doesn't matter. Whether to follow what we call God or not.
Exactly.
We're given that permission.
It's about choices.
Yes. And everything in life has to do with choices. Even lifting one finger, taking a breath at a different time.
All the time.
Uh-huh.
All the time. There's a choice to be made. Yes. And we do it by pattern or routine or by being put in a situation where we really have to decide.
Yes, yes. And it's interesting that you say by routine or pattern. It's like if we have very early in life or some other time where we make a choice in one direction.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, maybe later on, we come to the same type of situation and we follow that pattern. And we realize afterwards, oh, that doesn't quite work this time.
Right.
Or if something propels us, like if somebody is addicted to something, almost like the body is trying to override our free will.
Yes.
And our free will is trying to override the body.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's also the sort of hardship of addiction to anything,
yes.
really, that it feels like the addiction is opposing our free will. We don't want to be a part of this pattern anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a relationship even.
Yes.
Not just always substances. We can be addicted to many things.
Yeah.
And feel that we really would wish for something else, but we can't get out of that pattern somehow.
Right. And it has to do like even with habit patterns.
Yes, habits. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the free will in a way is our understanding of ourselves in relationship to the world around us.
Yeah.
It's defining us as a person,
mm-hmm.
and it's defining us as what we can do with life,
mm-hmm.
and it's really defining that we have a life.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise we would just be, you know, like an animal in a way, just go, I don't know if animals have free will, do they?
I think they have a little bit, but it's bred into them.
Right.
That they behave in certain ways. A deer behaves differently from a dog or a wolf.
Right, right. But not this maybe individual free will that they will say. Mm-hmm. Maybe in a way, you know.
Yeah.
But as humans, we are so, it defines us even from infanthood.
Yes.
Sort of when we start looking mm-hmm. around us and being interested in the world around us.
Yeah.
And I just, I'm thinking of an incident when I went to the grocery and there was a dad with his little boy or girl, I don't know, a 2-year-old, was sitting, you know, in the cart, and the dad was picking stuff from the shelves, and the boy, I think it was, said he was practicing saying no.
Mm-hmm.
So he said it like in many different ways. No, 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 no. Like that all the time. It was so cute.
Mm-hmm.
But also such a good example of the free will to start understanding the meaning of that word.
Yes.
That it actually does something with the world around us. If I say no, it affects the world around me.
Yeah.
And it defines me as a being.
Yes, it does. Yes. And he's practicing how to say it. In other words, How to say no at the right time and not destroy his free will. Somebody just destroyed
his free
will.
That the word no has so many variations.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And it's a wonderful word. I think he was enjoying himself, you know. And we do say no maybe sometimes a little too seldom, I would think. We're a little afraid of saying no because in our culture, we're always supposed to be sort of positively inclined to doing things,
mm-hmm.
to volunteering, to, mm-hmm. I mean now volunteering to join in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have an inclusive society where we're asked to participate.
Yes.
But sometimes we don't want to do that.
Right. And in a particular situation, I've encountered sometimes where I will speak my free will, what I see, and I can see people's eyes closed, turned off.
Right.
Or they change the subject, whatever. So I just realized, okay, that's not the situation to do this.
Yeah.
And it's so my free will is to keep my mouth shut.
No, it can be challenging.
Yeah.
It can be challenging to actually say no because it's so unusual.
Yeah.
And to voice an opinion against something that everybody's, you know, agreeing on.
Yeah.
That can also be very challenging.
Yeah.
But still, we do it. We're sacrificing there our, how people view us. They think, oh, that Mary Phyllis, she says something else, like you said now, that they were shutting their eyes and sort of not look, they didn't agree with you, right?
Right.
But still, you did it because you were sacrificing sort of their view on you. They were looking at you, you know, a little differently. And still you felt probably, you know, even in doubt, you felt that you should say this.
And the circumstance I'm thinking of specifically reminds me of what I heard a Native American say, must have been 20, 25 years ago. I was at a festival type of thing and looking at his jewelry. And he must have been psychic.
Okay.
I don't know. But he just said this. He said, you know, there are times when I speak my truth out of free will. I don't know if he said free will, but I speak my truth, not to buck the other person, not to put the other person down, but just to make sure that I stand up for myself. Because if I don't state my truth at that point, at some point I'm going to fade away, fade into the woodwork, so to speak. In other words, it's how you would say it. And I thought that's so profound. And the circumstance I'm thinking of recently, I knew that if I didn't say something, I would wish and wish and wish and wish I had said it.
Right.
So
that's the thing. We sort of have this, it's like the free will within us sort of opposes even our thinking of how it's supposed to be. We don't even know maybe that we have this wish to say this thing.
Yeah.
Until we're in the situation where our inner sort of urges us to really say it.
Yes.
Just like this Native American person or you felt. I don't care what people think of me. I have to say this.
Yes.
And in that sense, it's interesting because it comes not from the conscious, really, in a way. Because consciously, maybe you were thinking, everybody is agreeing. Maybe I should too. Maybe it's not so important, this thing. But still, something comes from inside and says, no, I have to oppose this because if I don't do it now, later on I will regret it because it sort of blends my being out.
Yes. Yes.
I won't be myself. I won't stand up for myself.
Yes, exactly.
And I don't know why, but I have to say it.
Yes.
So that comes from the unconscious.
I think so, from the unconscious. But that type of thing, it's not a gut reaction like it would be from the subconscious with a pattern in there. It would be automatic and...
Exactly. No.
Why did I say that?
No, it's not like that.
And it would be more from like what you're saying, you're pointing to your heart. And
right.
You're just saying it from your heart. And our heart is connected with our spirit.
Right.
It comes.
So it's maybe that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's an urge that comes from our inner being.
Yes.
That's connected to our hearts.
And then that's connected to not just our spirit, but our allegiance to higher spiritual precepts, I guess you might say.
Right.
And intentions.
Our idea of
who
we are and what we're bringing.
Yeah. And perhaps even our connection, you could say it as our connection with God.
Yeah.
And wanting to do the spiritual will. I see free will almost like we've been given this by the divine creator so that we can grow even more than if we were compelled to be in a certain way, just like a turtle or a fish or something is compelled to be according to its species.
Right.
But we are growing to become more individual. And the case of choosing the free will that best helps the world, like you said, helps right. the world.
Yeah.
And some people even say it's like learning how to turn our free will over to God.
Right.
But we do it consciously. And we do it when we know that it's
from
that
a alignment. Choice.
From a choice.
It has to be from a choice.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's not the free will.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and sometimes we might choose to do something that we maybe isn't really, you know, for the best good of all, but it's something we have to do for ourselves, like exploring a certain path. If I have a wish to try something out, and I know maybe, you know, this is not going to benefit me really on the path I'm on, but I just need to try this thing.
Yeah, there's something inside you that wants to explore.
Yes. And it's like going out a little on thin ice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think, okay, this could go really bad, but I just have to do this. Mm-hmm. And maybe there is some learning there.
Yeah.
But it could be, you know, in a way destructive, because maybe it takes some time to crawl back from that space where I went.
Huh.
I don't know. It's just, I don't even have a specific example of this.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, you know, that when we go out in life and we see all these things around us, sometimes we just want to explore some things.
Yeah.
But of course, it's wonderful if we can, by our own choice, decide to work for what we think is the best of all.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we might get, you know, if we're too set on doing good, maybe we sometimes sort of don't see really what is the right thing to do.
That's right, because you're putting your own ideas of what good is
yes.
onto somebody else, and they may have a different agenda,
right.
or a different plan.
Mm-hmm. So when should we intervene? I mean, that person has their ideas of what is right and what is good.
Yeah.
And we're not allowed to tell them that they're wrong.
Right.
If they think they're right.
Yeah.
This is a dilemma in the free will.
It's like sometimes I have this rule of thumb pretty much. If somebody is sick or needs help, I say, do you want me to put you on the prayer list?
Right.
And some people say yes, and some people say no. I said, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I don't do it without their choice.
You know? Right.
And I think it's important not to judge where somebody else is, because their life plan may call them to go in the direction they're going, because
right.
they're going to get a certain learning that will help them to grow.
Right.
Whether the outer world, the rest of us, sees that as an awful thing to have to go through or not.
Right.
It still helps.
Right. That's very important what you're saying. We have all this urge to help each other.
Yeah.
And when we see somebody struggling, maybe we get an idea of what they should be doing to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And still, maybe we don't see the whole picture
yes.
of why they are struggling
yes.
and what's in their struggle.
Yeah.
So if we go in and solve their problem with our solution, this might actually do more harm than good.
Yeah. It could make them feel even less capable.
Right. It's like we're telling them, you're not capable to solve your problem.
Yeah.
When we come in and intervene, oh, no, let me help you. I can see you're struggling. You should do it like this. It's like we're deciding for them that we are, you know, we know how to solve this problem, but you don't.
Right.
You're not capable.
Right.
Right.
And I think that's where pity comes in. I think the pity is one of the worst things to do towards anybody.
Yes, I agree.
Because it automatically judges it that they can't do what they do.
Yeah.
What they're supposed to do.
When I have been pitied, I feel even worse.
Yeah, I feel like somebody has taken my hands and tied them behind me and put a straitjacket on. And if they push me over, I won't be able to hold myself up. You know?
That's awful. Yeah, but that's the feeling, right?
Uh-huh.
As if when they pity me for something, it feels like I'm even worse off than I really am.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really that bad. Oh, my goodness. You know, like that.
You know, and some of my counseling work I do, guidance comes through that says the person, it goes along with that pity, but that person, and I'm told to say to them what they're saying about their family or friends or whoever else seems to be a problem. I say, well, you know, they came in with a certain purpose. And God, and their spirits, those angels or whatever you say, would not put them in that place if it was going to destroy their soul.
Right.
Nobody is tempted farther than they can handle. And nobody is given fewer problems than they can handle. We're sort of caught in the middle there somewhere.
Which can feel a bit intimidating to think about sometimes when you're struggling. I mean, it feels like you can't, it's...
It feels like you're at the end of your rope.
Yes.
When what you're doing is you're perceiving the knot that's here, and there's more of the rope farther beyond,
right?
So to speak.
Yeah. You know? In the end, there is no end.
Right. Right. And there've been times when I can remember a time in college I was at the end of my rope, so to speak. I was just feeling so down with student teaching. Oh. And I went for a walk, and this young man. And I never saw before, never saw since. Just looked me straight in the eyes. It's nice day, isn't it? And for some reason, my mood lifted.
Right.
And that was exactly what I needed at that point.
Yeah.
And from then on, I knew I could do whatever I needed to do.
Right.
And I thought that was really interesting.
That was interesting. And that was the way this man unknowingly actually intervened.
Yes.
But didn't impose something on you.
Right.
Just sort of gave you another perspective.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually a nice day. Did you see that? You know, did you notice?
and it was interesting, my thought was that he doesn't even know me. He doesn't even know what my problems are, and yet he said the right thing.
Right.
That thought was just so beautiful.
Yeah. So of course we should intervene and help each other, right?
Yeah.
This is the conclusion. Yeah. And we should support each other, you know, when we're struggling and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And still we have to find a way to do that, you know, in such a way that we don't impose our will on somebody else, and that they can choose freely what type of support actually do they need right now.
Yes.
Maybe we should start with asking that.
Yeah.
You know, I see you're struggling. What is it you need?
Yeah.
What do you think you need right now? Maybe I can help you. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
Isn't that a good thing? Because then we empower this person to actually say, well, everything I need right now is this,
mm-hmm.
you know, because then this person gets a chance to choose from his free will, from this person's own free will, what is needed right now.
Yeah.
It's not me. I wouldn't know.
Right. And every situation may look like every other situation, but there's something inside it that is different. And
exactly.
We need to have to decide accordingly.
We need to understand when we don't know everything in this situation.
Right, right. This thing about free will is just so...
Yeah, I really think, as you said in the beginning, that the free will is really God-given.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to use it.
Yeah. And learn how to use it in the best way for...
Ourselves,
for everybody else, for the planet.
Right.
And all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the free will is what defines us as a being, as that unique being that we are, that we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
So that's why we, like this Native American said, we have to stand our own truth.
Yes.
This is what we're here for.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we could be just a big blob, you know, like mm-hmm. a big, if we were all together in one being, you know, if there was just one being in the world,
mm-hmm.
then we didn't need a free will.
Right.
But we are many beings.
Yes.
And
billions.
Yes. And even if we are one in some point, right, this is what we're taught all the time, that we are one.
Mm-hmm.
We should see us as one. We still, every one of us has a free will. So that means we need to use it in this oneness that we are.
Yeah. This has been interesting.
Very interesting talk about the free will.
Yes.
And we hail the free will, right?
Yes.
It's there to be used and to be explored.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always turn out the way we thought it would be to right. use our free will.
Right.
But we learn something on the way.
Yeah. And I even see animals having some degree of free will.
Right.
And then I can learn from them the difference between a squirrel or a cat or a dog or a tiger or whatever.
Yeah, and even if you look at dogs, they have different personalities.
Uh-huh.
So that has to do something with free will, I guess, yeah. in a way.
Yeah.
Well, that was good to talk about that.
Uh-huh.
So enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. Same to you.
And see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ponderings over tea.
With Mary Phyllis.
And Annelie.